section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Y2AJ is a thing, Roblox is looking good, and we got some WrestleMania news. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron, and we have Roger Cave and Doug Hahn onto the show. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. So, WrestleMania 33 will be in Orlando. Roger, are you excited about this?
I'm a little disappointed. I kind of wanted WrestleMania 33 be somewhere else. I was at 24 in Orlando and 28 was in Orlando, and we're talking about the third WrestleMania in Florida in 10 years. Can we hit some of the other states? I understand you gotta go back out east. You know, we've had one in California last year and one in Texas this year, but Chicago needs another WrestleMania. It's been 10 years. You know, there's I feel like there's other places they could have gone as opposed to just going right back to Florida. Like, you know, Florida will always be there.
Yeah, Doug, your thoughts?
Yeah, they just had the Royal Rumble also, so why give them consecutive big events in a row and stuff like this when even Chicago, I think the last pay-per-view they had was like Battleground and something. I mean, why can't we have a big pay-per-view in Chicago or St. Louis or something along those lines in the Midwest? Or just mix it up a little bit more.
Yeah, I would like to see a Chicago or a WrestleMania in Chicago. The only downside is, though, is that the Allstate Arena doesn't hold that many people. So they would have to find a different location for it.
What's the United Center hold?
Yeah, I think that the United Center probably would be a better one. I wonder why they don't have any like Raws or SmackDowns there, though, because they are always at Allstate.
I think the rent is cheaper at Allstate. It's the same reason why they use, I think, the Phillips Arena as opposed to not the Georgia Dome. They use something besides like the Phillips Arena because it's cheaper to rent there. Just like Madison Square Garden is really expensive for them, too. Mm-hmm. So there's some cost that goes into it. Before WrestleMania, you would think you don't care.
Yeah.
Like you want the best facility possible.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, do it where the Blackhawks and the Bulls play, you know, and just play that up. You know, that's what I would do. And hopefully it does come back to Chicago. Chicago is overdue for one, in my opinion.
Boston?
You know, yeah, Boston is another great one.
They haven't had one since 14.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. But either way, Florida doesn't – look, they don't need three WrestleManias in 10 years. They don't need three NFL teams, all right? Like, they need
– They don't need three NBA teams.
They don't need – yeah. Like, all right, look, Florida doesn't need this. Florida does not need this. So I would like to see it go, you know – to some other places that would be in.
Yeah, I do agree with Chicago, and Minnesota would have been a good one because that's like a 6-hour drive for us, and we could have just drove up there the day of if we really wanted to. But
Seattle, I'd love for it to come back.
If it was in Seattle, I think I would actually. Yeah, I think I ended up flying.
I think the thing with Seattle, we probably won't get one for another 10 years. I would think because it was what 19, right?
Yeah, we got 19.
Yeah, and. You know, I think that was probably even a stretch, you know, for them. They probably were like, really? Seattle? It's not a wrestling hub. So,
but with the Daniel Bryan explosion, it is possible at least that you could be one of the like outside cities that gets one a decade. Because, you know, LA will always get one. Chicago will always, well, you thought Chicago would always get one. New York will always get one. Florida will get like three. Texas will get two.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just excited that they announced that. So pretty happy about it, but also disappointed in a way because it would have been a lot easier just to drive up there to Minnesota or even Chicago. But, oh, well, it happens. Side note, also, if they do a pay-per-view at Madison Square Garden, the rent actually goes up dramatically. That's why when they did the network special, it was cheap because it was considered an online show, not a pay-per-view. So.
Oh,
interesting.
Smart little trick.
Yep. So let's talk WWE new programming this week. Y2AJ is a team and they actually have a shirt. So that's big news. What are your thoughts on that, Doug?
I'm not a big fan of it. One, because I am a fan of both of them. You would think throwing both of them together would be great, but I want to see him in singles action. One, how long is Y2J going to be with WWE before he goes back on tour with Fozzy? So it's not going to be a continual thing. You know it's going to end shortly. They've already feuded. Why continue it? I don't mind him tagging every once in a while, but let them go on their singles way and go on that way.
Yeah, I actually feel a little differently. I'm okay with them teaming. The only thing I'm not okay with, though, is I feel that a turn is going to come. A turn is imminent. So we're going to see a heel turn by Jericho. And so that's going to be in the back of our minds. It's like, okay, is this going to happen now? No, it's not. Okay, is this going to happen now? As opposed to enjoying the team, you know, kind of like you think about the Rockers. And you never thought that Shawn Michaels was going to turn on Marty Jannetty. You were just enjoying the ride. Whereas if you knew that was going to happen, you're just sitting there going, okay, is this going to happen now? And it kind of takes away from the impact of it. I think what's going to happen here is that they're going to team. They're probably not going to win the titles at Raw this Monday. And then they're probably going to go after it again. And maybe they get thrown into a multi-man match at WrestleMania. And then they lose. And then Jericho turns on AJ. And then that sets up their story for the next 2 months or something. You know, that's the only thing I'm a little disappointed about is the predictability of it.
We have a lack of single stars right now with all the injuries. Rollins, Cena, Orton. You brought in AJ Styles. You paid him big money, and you've basically done a good job of pushing him as the next big thing, only to throw him into a tag team. Why? Like, I don't understand this. The feud should have concluded at Fastlane. AJ Styles should be going after a Kevin Owens or, you know, some other singles guy and be moving his way up the card. This is just a lateral move. And the New Day's doing a good job with the tag titles. Not like I don't think the feud would be entertaining, but they've got a feud going with the League of Nations. So AJ, Y2AJ is just kind of an afterthought. And I don't think AJ Styles right now should be an afterthought.
And I think the real reason why they're doing this is because AJ Styles, I don't think he's really flowing with certain matches in the WWE because he's not. He has to adapt to the WWE style things. And it, even when he wrestled the third time him and Jericho wrestled, you could see it was still off just a little bit. There's something missing. So I think that has a lot to do with it. Maybe they're just doing it just so they can then put him to a singles feud with Jericho for a month or two, like you said, and then that he
and,
does.
And it probably thing. Insulates him too. You know, if he's only having to work tag matches, that means he's working half time. You're still paying him the a lot of money. So it's kind of like, I'm sure AJ is like, yeah, that's fine. If you want to pay me X amount of dollars and you want me to work half time, I'm cool with that, you know. And Jericho also, I mean, he's working half time basically. And they probably, you know, they have some chemistry in the ring and they can probably put on some good matches. But, you know, it's going to happen. You know, Jericho's not going to be there forever, like Doug said. So
that's true.
Do we think it's also possible that they're trying to avoid a Savage Steamboat situation with AJ and Owens? Where they don't want those two to tear it up and make Reigns and Hunter look bad. Because if you remember, the last time I think Hunter was in the main event was 25 when Shawn and Taker blew it out of the water. And Hunter even said, like, him and Orton had no way of following that up. There was nothing they could do. And that match sucked. I mean, that match was absolutely terrible. It's not like Reigns is AJ Styles or Daniel Bryan. That match is not going to be a five-star classic.
No. Yeah, no, yeah, but do you do that? Because doesn't it hurt Kevin Owens, though, by them doing this?
Yeah, well, but does Hunter care about hurting Kevin Owens or protecting himself?
But do you care about the product, though?
And I think, well, that leads into a discussion. Andy, who do you have Kevin Owens face at WrestleMania?
I don't know, because whoever Kevin Owens, let's hypothetically just say he wrestles, like, we'll say Sami Zayn, which I doubt it. But let's say that happens. I guarantee you that steals the show. So what's going to happen? That's match number one of probably eight. So they have to do that. So then when it finally comes to the crap main event that we're going to be so bored with, then they're going to stop talking about it because they just won't. You'll probably have Taker and Shane at the sixth match and they'll have the Divas match with bathroom break. And then you'll have the main event. But this is actually disappointing to me. This entire thing, what they're doing right now, just ticks me off. But whatever. It happens. But yeah, so I don't know who you put. I mean, Doug, who do you think Kevin Owens should face?
I think you have what I would have done was had they, you know, I've talked about it before in the past, a multi-person match where it's, you know, Y2J versus AJ versus Ziggler versus KO in a four-corner match or something along those lines. Add a couple more and make it a fatal six-way or something like that. But you can put in some valuable talent and have a really good match that showcases everybody. And you can have, you know, whether you put Sami Zayn in there or somebody, just that will be. And you're right, though. It's going to steal the show, and they can't afford that.
And that's the sad part about this whole situation. I don't know. Aaron, do you have any thoughts?
No. I think that they should do like a six pack challenge, they call it. You know, you throw in Big Show, who he's been feuding with, and maybe throw in like Miz and Ziggler and, you know, a couple other people that aren't going to be doing anything. But that I kind of feel that's a little thrown together. You know, we're going to have a couple of multi-man matches. And that's the thing that I'm a little worried about, because you already have a triple threat set up with Sasha and Becky and Charlotte. So that's already set up. You know, you're going to have a tag team match, and theoretically that's probably, you know, tag team matches for the most part is typically a four-way tag team. So we're going to have that. I mean, that's eight people in the ring. You're going to have three there. If you have the like a ladder match, or you have a six pack challenge, or four-way, whatever,
you have
the
battle royal.
Yeah. The battle royal, you got a lot of stuff going on. So that's the thing I'm a little worried about. But, you know, to speak though, kind of what I was saying about Sasha and Becky, so they actually had a couple of matches already, which ended, you know, in nefarious ways, you know, a double disqualification. And so they announced it's actually going to be those two against Charlotte at WrestleMania. Triple threat match, I don't mind them. You know, I know some people like more singles. And I also think that these three could put on they could not steal the show, but they could be like the second or third best match on that card, I think.
Which it will say something, because, you know, we always joke bathroom break when the Divas match comes on, but this actually could steal the show. This is potential, which is really nice. But I don't know. I mean, it's interesting that they announced it on SmackDown, but I was still pretty happy about it. So, but the other
when we say potential, what's the time that we think it's going to get, though? Because to me, I think there's two different schools of thought. I think if this were NXT, they would get 20 minutes and put on arguably the match of the night. This is the main roster. Do they even get 10 minutes?
Ooh. I would say they would give him at least 15. I think curtain to curtain, I think they give him 15. So that's
should or would.
They should at least that, because then that's a 10 minute match. Because you got the video package, and then you got them coming to the ring and leaving the ring. That's 5 minutes at least. So if they give him 10 minutes, I think it'll be okay. Realistically, it should be more like 15.
Well, and it depends too, because, you know, just taking a look back at some of the past WrestleManias, the more recent ones, the vast majority of them have had 8 main matches. And last year's only had 7. There were 2 dark matches that were on there, which was the Andre the Giant Battle Memorial Royale, and then the tag match, you know, where you had the 4 tag teams that were in there. So you had 2 dark matches, you know. So in a 5-hour show, you had 9 matches. So with the Divas, I mean, what are you going to do there? You know, Rock has a segment like we had talked about last week. He's going to have a segment. Austin's going to be there, so that means he's going to have a segment.
Sean's there.
That's a segment. Maybe it's all together. Who knows? But either way, we're talking 7 matches.
That is big. Just to let you know, if you go to Wikipedia, WrestleMania 30, for some reason, Chris Benoit defeated Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Didn't Adrian Neville last year defeat Sonic the Hedgehog in a handicap match? I think I just read on Wikipedia.
I know it was Gabe Newell defeated Sonic the Hedgehog and Pac-Man.
That's wow.
WrestleMania 30.
Wikipedia, folks.
I love when people edit that stuff. It gives you a good laugh. And no Lesnar on that card. Oh, yeah, there. Lesnar was on that card. Now, I got a weird question. So Lesnar had an issue with Bray Wyatt, and you thought that this was going to end up being a WrestleMania match. But all of a sudden, they're like, oh, we're going to have you wrestle at Roadblock. Why? Why do it at Roadblock? Doug, I mean, I don't even know what to think about this. What are your thoughts?
I think we mentioned it when we first mentioned that they're even going to have a special or anything like that. The only thing I can see coming out of this is just the idea and or hope that something changes the WrestleMania main event. Like, let's say, you know, Dean Ambrose isn't necessarily going to win, but is this a, you know, maybe he is on the verge of winning and interference happens and now they have to put him in the main event. And now you have nothing to do with Lesnar, or you went to a Lesnar Bray Wyatt, but can't really do that now for WrestleMania because we're doing that at Roadblock. For me, it's that last glimmer of hope that the writing will get the WrestleMania main event right, but it's just going to be more disappointment like Fastlane was, where it was all too predictable.
Well, I think that's the thing with Roadblock, at least for me, with Wyatt versus Lesnar, that just feels like they did not know what to do. Because if you want to have Lesnar take on Ambrose, I'm okay with it. But then have Lesnar take on Wyatt at SummerSlam. That's a marquee match, you know? Like, who else are you going to have him take on then? Because, you know, he is a very specific attraction that can only work with certain people. And if you already had him, you know, he's faced Sheamus and Del Rio already.
Who?
Lesnar has. So
he did?
Yeah.
But yeah. Dark matches, not on TV.
Not on TV, at house shows and stuff. You know, he's already taken them on. There was rumors that he was going to take on Luke Harper, which I would have been okay with. That makes sense, you know. And that insulates Wyatt, you know. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff then. That's what I would have done. You know, Rusev is somebody else he could have taken on. This is pointless, in my opinion, because I think that Wyatt, he must have really pissed somebody off, because there's no need for him to lose to Lesnar like this. Because, I mean, I think we all expect him to lose just because it's Lesnar. And Lesnar, I don't think they want him to go into his match against Ambrose with a loss. I think that would be a mistake, especially since he lost recently in the triple threat. Granted, he was protected, but I think that would be a mistake.
I think this is kind of an indication that despite WrestleMania being the biggest show of the year, they don't have a clear-cut plan. Like, they're really kind of just trying to figure it out on the fly. I mean, Shane versus Undertaker, while a cool moment, we're all happy to see Shane, that was definitely last minute. There is no way this was the plan 4 months ago to have Shane Taker inside of Hell in a Cell. Lesnar has had basically no issue with Ambrose prior to the triple threat, and now they're in a big-time WrestleMania match. This is thrown together. Bray Wyatt, who is supposed to be your third, maybe fourth heel, has nothing. Nothing at all going into this, you know, the biggest card of the year. Mm-hmm. It just this reeks of desperation, and it seems like they don't know what they're doing, and they're just seeing like, hey, maybe something will pop at Roadblock. Maybe, you know, Lesnar and Wyatt tear the house down, or maybe Ambrose gets such a reaction that they decide to change the triple. But they're not going to do that to Reigns. I mean, as much as we enjoyed it 2 years ago, Reigns is winning. Like, there's no Seth Rollins to save us this year. It's just, you know, Superman punch, spear, he's the new champion.
Have they already told Reigns' dad that he's going to win?
Oh, gosh. Well, if not, they're going to start a fight this year, right? But yeah, this is a very strange booking decision. I mean, I didn't like the way Lesnar was booked at the Rumble, and they did that to make it look like Wyatt and him were going to have an issue, and now you wasted it on Roadblock. Like, I don't know. I don't get it either. This is a head scratcher to me.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, why, you know, since Lesnar and Ambrose are going at it at WrestleMania, why have Ambrose stick on Triple H? I mean, what's that going to do? Is it going to make him stronger? Because, you know, so when him and Lesnar go at it, it's going to be that street fight's going to be awesome.
Well, no, we know what that's for. That's for Hunter to pound Ambrose into the ground. He's going to beat him up. He's going to bloody him. And then the great Roman Reigns is going to come out to make the save. Because they know right now that Ambrose is the real face in this feud. You know, Hunter beating down Reigns got a cheer. Hunter beating down Ambrose got us cheering for Ambrose. So they're going to try to transfer that heat and say, okay, go save your buddy Ambrose, and maybe the crowd will like you, even though they're just going to boo Reigns no matter what. They just won't accept that fact.
Yeah, because when you think about it, Triple H hasn't faced anyone else. And so they need to give him an opponent that is believable enough to take the belt, theoretically, but somebody that he can beat and look strong, you know, so that way
warm-up match.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, that way Roman can come out and look strong, like Roger said. So I don't like this idea, because right now it seems like you had Royal Rumble, and then you have WrestleMania. And in between it, you had Fastlane, which is, you know, it's whatever. But you're adding a second pay-per-view? Like, I don't quite get that logic. I don't know if that's the smart move to do. I don't think it is. I think this is the type of thing that you do on maybe, I don't know, in between Money in the Bank and, like, SummerSlam or something. Like
the Elimination Chamber.
Exactly. That was a surprise, and it was a, like, whoa, cool. They're doing an Elimination Chamber pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Like, I'm actually kind of excited for that. It was okay, but, like, I was excited because they were doing it this special. And something like this, I'm actually not as excited for. I will watch it, but, you know, I know who's going to win, you know? Like, there's going to be no surprises here.
Fastlane Part 2.
That's right.
To be honest, there's nothing, there's no match on this that I can't predict, in my opinion, with 99.99% certainty.
999?
Just like Fastlane. 999? I don't think there was a single surprise winner at Fastlane.
Wyatt's, yeah.
That was the only one.
But Wyatt wasn't in the match.
Yeah.
That was the only surprise.
I was surprised that they allowed Braun Strowman, who they've been pushing, you know, to, I mean, he didn't take the pin, but, you know, the fact that they lost to a team that was thrown together.
But once we saw Wyatt not in that match, both you and I said, oh, the Wyatts are losing, because if Bray was in, just like he on Monday, he was going to win. Yeah. So
it's still like that was more of a surprise to me, though.
But that was it. Yeah. That's your only surprise. Yeah. I mean, everything else was by the numbers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doug, what do you think about this Ambrose Triple H roadblock?
And kind of like what Aaron said, I think this is going to be actually where they try to hurt Ambrose's character, even where they're going to have Triple H just pound him and pound him and pound him. He'll make Ambrose look strong in the fact that he keeps kicking out. He'll probably kick out of the pedigree maybe once or twice. But it's going to be all offensive Triple H. And this is going to be just to demolish Ambrose to a point where maybe Reigns comes out to make the save and interferes in the match, costing Ambrose the match, and hopefully a heel turn then at WrestleMania. I don't know. I don't see it, and I don't think it's even in the plans. One can hope, and that's all I have for WWE right now is a small glimmer of hope.
I'm just wondering if they try and turn Reigns heel if the crowd just doesn't care.
So I heard this. How you've mentioned a Reigns heel turn. Who is he going to turn heel on?
That's all the fans.
So we were actually talking about this a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
And the question I posed, and I don't know, you might know because you're a historian yourself, Roger. Has a heel or has a face ever turned heel on a heel?
Yeah. Bret Hart did it to Austin.
But it was a double turn, though.
True. But at the time, Austin was the heel.
True.
And Bret Hart beat him down. So, or you could actually say Del Rio on Ziggler turned heel. Mm-hmm. When
you said face and face, though. That was the question. Has a face ever turned on a face?
Well, yeah. Faces have turned on faces plenty of
times. Well, no. But has a face ever turned heel on a heel and the heel still stays a heel?
Oh, I see. Well, you can't because a heel turn is a betrayal or a dirty trick. So it doesn't make sense because it's not a heel turn. It's just a low move onto a heel. Mm-hmm. So he has to turn face for the double turn to kind of work.
But without a double turn, because that's the thing. So Triple H, for the most part, he's a heel. He's the authority, right? So he's a guy that you're supposed to despise. But for the most part, right now, he's getting cheers over Roman Reigns when those two are in the ring together.
Yeah, I'll say it's only Reigns.
Yeah, Reigns is getting the heat. Mm-hmm. And so if, let's just say Reigns low blows Triple H, uses a chair, you know, where people then start booing him, you know, is that a possibility? Like, has that ever happened that you can remember?
The only way that would work is if Stephanie turned on Hunter. Other than that, it's just him using a chair and him punching. Those aren't really things that we consider heel unless it's face versus face. To my knowledge, you've never had a face turn heel on a heel who stays the heel because it from a crowd's perspective, it doesn't really work.
Yeah. And I get that, but I didn't know if that was something that ever happened.
I think they've tried it maybe in WCW. That seems like something very Russo-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, now they're both heels because he's a bad guy. But, you know, if you're watching this as a fan, you go, okay, so who am I cheering? So you're a bad guy, but you did a bad thing to a bad guy. Doesn't that make you still a good guy? Mm-hmm. It's very kind of like, I don't understand. So unless Stephanie's going to come out and side with Roman Reigns over her husband, which I don't think any of us want to see more McMahon drama. Mm. There's no logical way for Reigns to come out of this as a heel unless he were to turn on Ambrose. But Hunter can't be the face. The authority can't be good.
So, but Andy had an interesting idea.
The talking about the crowd?
Yeah, if even though, let's say, Reigns, you know, turns heel and the crowd doesn't care.
Well, no, you had said before that what if, you know, he wins the match, the crowd is obviously still going to boo him. And then he says, you know what? I don't care. I did all this on my own. The crowd, you can stick it. You know, basically what Hogan, you know, did, like all you fans can stick it sort of thing.
So again, though, Hogan turned on Savage. Mm-hmm. Like even if you yell at the crowd,
but you know, the next night, I think it was, or maybe no, it was that night, you know, he said, you know, all these fans can stick it, you know, sort of thing. And yeah, he did turn heel on them, but we're going to boot. Look, if Reigns is going to win, Reigns is going to win the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Reigns is going to get booed.
Yeah.
Let's say Reigns gets on the mic and tells us to suck it.
Uh-huh.
And then we start booing even louder, you know? So, I mean, it is a heel turn. He's turning heel on the crowd, man.
But so again, it's not, he is changing his persona, but it's not a change in reaction. We're already booing you. It doesn't work because, like, if John Cena told us to suck it, he's getting mixed reactions. So if he came out and said, screw these kids, I'm tired of hustle, loyalty, and respect, and all you guys have been giving me crap for all these years so you can, you know, go to you know where and I'm joining the authority, that's a heel turn because there are people who still like him. Mm-hmm. Not that Reigns doesn't have anyone who likes him, but for the most part, he is booed by the smart crowd. Him coming out and telling us after the match that we're him sick and tired of you would just be an acknowledgement of the fact that we hate you. Like, it's... You wouldn't
it would just confirm his being a heel, though.
I mean, yeah, but
he is a heel because we're still booing him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. There's nowhere for it to go, right? Because he can't be a heel and feud with the authority. So then you're talking about a feud with Ambrose and who else? Mm-hmm. Rollins when he comes back. Now he could turn heel on Rollins. That could totally be something that would make sense down the road, and you could double turn them. But and plus, they don't like ending WrestleMania with heels on top. For the most part, it's only happened I think 3 times. Hunter did it. Of course, Hunter did it. Rollins did it. And Miz did it. Other than that, the face walks out champion. Mm-hmm. He's not going to cut a heel turn promo. Like, it just, I don't see what would happen. And then, okay, so he's the number one heel in the company. Well, now what do you do? Because you don't have any faces right now for him to feud with.
No, other than Ambrose, but, you know, do you really
and
see that?
He's made Ambrose look like his personal sidekick all year. Like, has Ambrose beat him 1 time?
Nope.
No. Yeah, so.
What if Ambrose was to turn on Reigns?
We'd cheer him.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But it wouldn't be a heel turn in our eyes because we would cheer him. Like, this is the problem with Reigns. He's in the Cena position, is that we don't like him. So anybody who does something bad to him, we accept. Triple H proved that 2 Mondays ago. But you can't use his ability as a face to then get someone else over as a heel because we want to see him get beat up. Like, he is in that very weird Cena zone where you kind of just need to book him face first face and let him be the heel against faces. Without having to turn his character.
But the thing is with Cena, I think when Cena's gone, I think we kind of miss him. But we know that he's the face of the company. We know that this is going to happen to him. But we enjoy when he's there. But when he's gone, it's like they're trying to do the same thing with Roman Reigns. And we're all just like, we're done with this. Cena's the head guy. We know this. Reigns is not going to be that guy because we don't believe he can wrestle properly. We think he stinks at it. And I think that's the problem that we're going to see from here on out.
So, Andy, I think we are looking back with rose-tinted glasses. Let us not pretend that we loved and respected Cena.
Well,
10 years ago, actually, from this WrestleMania, Triple H went into a WrestleMania in Chicago against John Cena. Did anyone cheer for John Cena in that match?
No.
Because I heard nothing but boos. Triple H came out looking like he was the face of the match. Yes, John Cena has done a fantastic job over the past year, but you know what he has not been in? The main event.
Yeah.
Push him in the main event, have him win the Rumble, have him beat Fastlane, have him beat Lesnar. I guarantee you we'd be booing him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's just not been shoved down our throats lately. Yeah.
I guess when
John Cena's in the upper mid card, I like John Cena.
Agreed.
I like John Cena with the US title, with an IC title, tag titles. He is totally fine in that position. Totally fine. It's when he is going for the main title. That's when I don't want to see him. I have no interest in him.
When Seth Rollins said I'd beaten everyone and John Cena came out, what did we all go? We don't miss him. We just don't want to see him in the main event picture.
Okay, yeah, that's a better. But also, what I was going to say is, okay, let's say Roman Reigns gets hurt in the match. We're probably going to cheer. I know that's a horrible thing, but we're probably going to cheer because he got hurt. If Cena got hurt, we'd probably like, ooh, is he okay? And then we'd probably be like, all right.
Like if Reigns, like, goes down on his neck, I'm not going to be like, yay, he might be paralyzed. Like, I don't think we're that sadistic, right? Like, we may not want... Okay, maybe I missed
it. Okay, let's say
if Reigns were to pop his quad, let's say Triple H style, and finish the match so he's not, like, in life-threatening, I think we would be happy that he's gone but sad that he is hurt. Like, I play sports. I know how painful injuries can be, so I don't think we're cheering for that, but it would be like, he's gone. At least we're not going to see him for a while. But
I was happy when he had a hernia. Like, I mean, I don't wish him pain. All right. I don't. I'm sure he is a lovely guy, but I don't like what they've done with him. I don't like the marketing that they're putting behind
him. You don't like
him.
The Roman Reigns character.
I don't like the character. He himself is probably a fantastic person. But I was happy when he had a hernia because guess what? He was gone.
Yeah.
And same thing like with Cena. Like, it's sad right now because I actually think that Cena being at this WrestleMania against Undertaker would be very nice.
This is the first time I've actually been sad that Cena's not going to be.
I was happy he was gone for 3 months filming a movie or whatever, but I wanted him back for this WrestleMania. I wanted to see him against Taker in Hell in a Cell. And I still want it. I actually hope that next year they do.
If Shane announced that Cena was going to be his proxy, I think we would all cheer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he belongs in that type of match.
Absolutely.
In my opinion, Reigns does not belong in the match that he is in. And that, I think, is the problem, is that Reigns, in my opinion, has not earned it. He has been shoved down our throats. He's been given the Brock Lesnar push. Mm-hmm. He has not delivered a Brock Lesnar moment. There's no promos that I can say that I like of Reigns. There's no matches that I can say I really like of Reigns. The Lesnar match was solid, mm-hmm. but that was basically him getting the crap kicked out of him.
And that's why we liked it.
And the only moment that I think Reigns has done well was the beatdown of Triple H at TLC.
Yeah.
Which was, to me, the best booking they'd ever used with Reigns.
Was that TLC? Or Survivor Series?
No, I think
Survivor Series afterwards when he speared him?
No, when he took the chair and he just unloaded, which is what put him out for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
After the League of Nations. So that to me was the Roman Reigns. I was like, oh, that's an interesting character. He hasn't been like that since. Nope. But that was the only time I thought Roman Reigns was booked
well. That was probably his biggest career-defining moment thus far.
And he was cheered. That was the first time Reigns I really felt got support since the Shield days.
Yeah.
And they, you know.
All right. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click strip install, the free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big from items on WWEshop.com, and they actually have a good deal on belts. If you go up there, they'll see it. It's pretty cool. So, Doug, let's talk WrestleMania tickets. You got them, right?
I got my tickets in the mail, FedEx to me. I was lucky enough to be able to be at home when they came in and sign off on them. And I cannot be more pleased with the packaging and how they arrived. For all those with the capability of seeing a video on the podcast.
Nope. No one has.
I know.
So us.
So for everybody else who's seen this for the first time now, this is the letter that they sent, just kind of saying thank you for everything included in this package are the following things. Please visit this if you have any questions. And also, we look forward to seeing you in Dallas. Then what it comes in is this nice little WrestleMania, like little purser, almost little package thing, magnetically sealed, which is really nice. Pops open, and on the inside you have your wristbands, which are for your hotel stay and also for the travel from hotel to WrestleMania. If you use the shuttle, this is what you need to have in order to get on said shuttle. But what the tickets come in, the small little ticket pouch. It says WrestleMania on it, and it has every single ticket on there. And I went ahead and put them all in order of the events of what we are going to, starting with the access and going through everything else.
And has anyone been announced for access?
No one has been announced for the ones that we're going to yet.
Okay.
We know Daniel Bryan has a special one that he's doing. And I think maybe Shawn Michaels has a special one there, or that one might be WrestleCon. I'm not 100% positive. Mm.
They look like your standard Ticketmaster tickets, if anybody's ordered from Ticketmaster, except for the WrestleMania. The WrestleMania ones are a little bit special. Not Ooh. Much. Just says Dallas Stadium, has a little sticker of the star. But we found out our section. That's the other thing I was very happy with, is each one of them comes with a little pamphlet. One, your weekend itinerary. It has everything in order of where everything's going to be, addresses and everything like that. So if you wanted to ship anything to the hotel or addresses for your phone or GPS. But each one of them has the convention center and the NXT, the seating chart for the NXT event.
Where
we will be sitting.
Where are we? Can you point where we're sitting at, Doug?
All right. So this is the ring.
Uh-huh.
And yes, I'm flipping you all off on purpose. We are sitting up in this corner. This is 19.
Okay.
Okay.
So we are in a corner, but it's row A. So I'm hoping, and according to, well, it doesn't say on this one, but everything else has been, row A is row one. So
yeah, so
front row of the upper section.
So when we got our packages, we did the gold package. And so that way we got, and we ordered these like within seconds of this going on sale. It was, we were ready to go. We ordered them right away. And so for the NXT one, while we are in the lower bowl, we're like front row of the lower bowl. Like we are, it's
like our feet really will be on the guardrail.
Yeah. Like I think from what I've seen so far, it seems like for the price, this was probably the best one to get, in my opinion. Because I think the next step up, we might have been a little bit closer, but the change in price probably did not, it did not dictate that it should.
We'd have to go up 2 to 3.
Exactly.
Could have gotten a chair, though.
Just saying. But you know what we're going to do is we're going to accost a little kid and take his chair.
I'm going to be honest. We should probably not have chairs considering we're going to be watching Reigns Hunter, because I know that there's going to be a lot of alcohol in our system and we don't want to spend the night in jail.
Yeah. But so, Doug, so you have the tickets then for obviously NXT, for WrestleMania, for Monday Night Raw. What else? You have the access tickets. Was there anything else in there other than that in the
WrestleMania? The Hall of Fame.
Oh, the Hall of Fame, of course. Yeah.
We are sitting in section, I'll try to put this up here. This is where the stage will be. We are in section 107, which is about 3 sections over from where the stage is.
Oh, that's pretty good seats, actually.
Yeah. Not bad, and we are row G.
And we're scalping Andy's ticket since he's not going, right? Because he's explicit that he's not going to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, let's be honest here. We're probably not going to the Hall of Fame till the last hour.
I'm going to see Sting.
Like, exactly. Yes.
That's still part of the Hall of Fame, right? If I go for the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, I was still at the Super Bowl.
Andy, you got to watch the Hall of Fame on your phone and let us know when Sting's coming up so that we can just be standing outside.
All right, guys, go up. Go now. Go now. Go now. And then all of a sudden you guys get in there, it's Godfather. And you guys are like, oh.
So not bad for that one. The next one, like I said, I will point out where we are sitting for the WrestleMania. It's the only one I absolutely positively remembered of two heart. If you see this section over here, this is where I'm guessing the cameras and everything are going to be, that blank section. There's this the stage. We are right here. So we have a pretty good view of the stage.
Whoa.
As people come out, we will be able to see them down the ramp, and then we have a nice little corner view of the match. But since there is a roof on the Texas Stadium, I don't think they're going to have anything over the actual mat itself. So we won't have any obstruction, I'm hoping, whatsoever of that corner view. And we are row D, so 4 rows up from the very first section up. I'm like you said, Aaron, I think this is the best we could have gotten, especially for the price.
Yeah.
This is I'm really excited about where we're sitting and the view that we're going to have. It really looks like those first 3 rows, which would have been the next section or upper section, I think is the pro or the gold section, or we got gold, didn't we?
Yeah, we got gold.
So it would have been like the VIP section. I think that's, if you look at the very thin red line that goes in front of, I'm trying to get that close enough.
Yeah.
There's a thin red line in there. I'm thinking that's the VIP. That might be row A through C. So we might be the front row of our sector, of our package.
I was totally okay with that.
Yeah, because I mean, it was like an extra $1,500 to be one more row up. I'm okay.
I'm good.
I'm okay.
So I got a question for all 3 of you. Now, mind you, we are going to, I think this is now the second largest screen in North America. It's like 50 yards long.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to watch the match? Are you going to look up at the Jumbotron that is going to be larger than anything we've ever experienced in our life? Because, I mean, look, the Jumbotron and Raws are pretty big. Like, these are large TVs. And this thing is going to make that look like the old Panasonic TV you had when you were a kid. Like, this is huge. It's going to be really tempting to just be doing, like, the neck up and just watch, you know, the life-size characters going on the screen. Because I'm like, yeah, the ring's only 15 yards away, but that screen is bigger than the ring is. Like, literally, it's huge.
I think that'll be what I'll be doing during the main event. So it looks like I have the newspaper up, but I'll be totally watching it on the screen up there.
Well, so that'd be a good way for us to just give double fingers, but still watch the match. Mm-hmm. Just be consistent about it.
Now, Andy, for Raw, I'm sorry. Last thing for Raw, there is the stage. There's the ring. We are in section 117, which again is another corner. I do believe we are on camera side at that point. I'm not 100% sure. But again, we are row G, so only seven rows up on the 100 level. That's not bad.
No, no.
It's kind of where I sat for Nashville after Survivor Series. Or not Survivor. Yeah.
Yeah, Survivor Series.
Survivor Series. And that was a wonderful seat.
Cool. Now, Andy, how excited are you now? Because I know you were kind of like, oh, man, like, it's a lot of money to part with, you know, without having the actual, you know, product in your hand right away, which I totally get. You know, like, you part with that much money, and you're not going to get it for 3-4 months, right? So how excited are you now that we are 3-4 weeks out from WrestleMania?
I can't believe. I mean, we're, you know, Doug and I take off in 27 days now, 28. And we were driving a long ways, and at first I was like, oh, this is going to stink. We're going to be in a car. But now that we're going to have some surge with us, that'll actually be fun. Full case. Yeah. Aaron gets off the plane. I crack it open for him. Here you go. They're like, are you guys drinking beer? No, it's surge. Duh. But anyways, I'm actually really excited. And I actually just got some good news this afternoon. So I was actually more pumped because my audio interface that I was so upset about, I actually got Behringer to send us one to test out for 60 days. So I got that as well, along with my mic. So that's actually the great news. So I'm going to have like literally a little bag for all the podcasting gear, which will be really nice. That aside, I'm looking forward to when we get there, we pick Aaron up, we go back to the hotel, chill for a little bit, pick up Roger, and then we're going to have like an hour or two, then it's NXT. And I am pumped about that because never seen.
And we're going to record right after NXT, so we can talk about our initial, you know, we can talk about your guys' trip, obviously. And then we're going to talk about how NXT went and everything else we did that day. And then Saturday is going to be really crazy, too, talking about all that. And obviously Sunday, we're going to do our post WrestleMania show, which will be even better because, I mean, you know, last year and the year, every year when we do the post WrestleMania show, we just talk about the matches and, you know, what we liked about it and everything. And, you know, if we got certain matches right or wrong. This year, we get to talk about the experience of the matches, not just seeing it. Like, I mean, the experience. And that's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited, you know, where obviously which we talked about before, we're going to change this to a monthly show. So we're going to end the weekly versions of this. But we're going to go out on episode 316. We're going out on top at WrestleMania. This is going to be huge. And I think that this is the greatest send-off that we could have done.
And it's an experience like no other. Like, they're, you know, this is the Super Bowl of wrestling. This is the show that if you are a wrestling fan, this is the one you always want to see every year. And it is, you know, because anything's on the table. Like, for the most part, if you watch Survivor Series, could be good. WrestleMania, anything can literally happen. The guys you haven't even thought of could theoretically show up. I never would have guessed Piper was coming back at 19. And when he came out, we just went absolutely crazy. It's just, you know, anything's a possibility, especially with Shane now back. I mean, who knows what he might try to do?
And I really think that they have to pull a lot out of the bag. So I think that this is going to be a really great WrestleMania. I don't know if it'll top last year's. It'll probably be better, though, than most of the other ones that they've had recently, though. I mean, 30
the ending will
good,
not but, be better. Yeah. That is the one. We will not be on the emotional high with Reigns standing there with his fist up listening to his awful music. I mean, it's just, you know, we're going to be disappointed coming at the end. But depending on how good that cell match is, we might be talking about that for years.
Yeah. Who knows? Yeah.
I got to say, I wasn't 100% excited about WrestleMania. I even had some second thoughts after looking as the card was kind of forming. But I will say this, the moment I got to see where we were sitting, instantly flipped. And it's like, I can't wait to go. I'm gearing up my car. I'm getting ready. I cannot wait to make that drive.
I can't wait to hear, here comes the money. I can't wait for that. I'm so pumped about that part. And I've never seen Hell in the Cell. So I get Shane O'Mac, Hell in the Cell. We get all, I mean, and, you know, as a group, it's great because we get to experience everything together. And I'm really looking forward to that. I am going to Hall of Fame. So
yes, he's going.
I'm going.
Not all six of them, you know.
Except we get there and it turns out that, you know, they're like, You said on your show you're not going to get your butt out.
I'm not gonna lie. If somebody referenced the show and specifically banned you from the Hall of Fame, that would validate everything about that trip. They could kick me out of Manny.
I'd be like,
because now I know they're listening.
I'm like, I'm out of here. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthemarkAid6. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn and Roger Cave and Aaron Hughes, I'm Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.